terrifying. Welcome.
The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, Longer, let's do this. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans out today, dealing with some family stuff. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Don't worry, it's not that weak thing that we dealt with a while ago. We're all here, ready to go. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, hope you are all well. Down here at Tri-Day Trading, you know the drill. A lot of these remotes, we want you to come by and say hi. Here, we just want you to go to tridaytrading.com. Excited to chat with Ryan and the crew down here. I believe Alema is going to join us coming up a little bit later on as well. So we're going to do it right. A lot to get to on the program. But Lloyd, first off, everything good on your end? How you doing back there?
Everything is good on my end. Life is well. I can't complain.
I mean, we can.
Sure.
Nobody really cares.
Sure. You know what? Kids had to go, went to the dentist this morning. No cavities. You know, it's good. Can't complain.
Oh, really? So that's good.
Yes.
Both kids?
It's all, both kids. Well, I hope so. My gosh, they're not that old. But
yeah.
I'm the awful parent that is Mr. Anti-Sugar. Like, I've never been a big candy person, and Jessica's kind of on the other end of that.
Yeah.
And so it's like a battle between us. I'm the no sugar, the no fun person.
You're the no fun dad.
Yeah, I'm the no fun dad. Like, it's okay to have, a little treat here and there. And it's not to say I don't have sugar here and there, but I'm just not like always having candy. And so.
Are you the guy that like after Halloween, you're like, okay, I'm going to take all the candy and you can get a piece a day for the next couple days or next
yeah,
couple weeks
that's,
or something like that.
That's pretty much me.
But you're not going to let him gorge
no,
all at once.
No, I used to be the kid that would, you'd fill up the whole pillow of candy, but then I wouldn't eat it. I'd just give it away essentially. Wow. Like, I'm just not a big candy person. Now, don't get me wrong. A Reese's peanut butter cup is a good way to my heart, but. And I'll have those occasionally. Sometimes I like to just have a couple with some milk or something like that. But for the most part, I'll go through little cravings.
Yeah.
Like here and there. But it's very spotty.
It's so, interesting. Yes,
I'm the no fun dad.
I didn't know you were the sugar Nazi.
That is a good word for it because that's exactly what Jessica calls me, the sugar Nazi.
Huh.
But hey,
I did not see this coming.
I'm as old as I am, and I still haven't had a cavity.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That's true. No cavities. Never had a cavity in my life.
You have never had a cavity
Never
in your
had
life.
A cavity. Cavity. Never.
Wow.
It's my claim to fame. It's all I got going for me.
That is trippy, man.
Just shows you how much I'm not a big sugar person.
That is an interesting revelation. I would not. That is, hey, you know what? Good for you, man.
So like I said, good day. The kids got done with the dentist. Got, no cavities, a little bit of plaque in some areas where they need to brush a little bit more. Other than that, good.
Yeah, it's, that's the one I just tried. We're trying to, I'm trying to find which wireless to log on to.
Okay.
This is something that I probably should have done earlier before the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've been there a half hour.
That's true.
So how was the trip, by the way?
The trip was very long and not necessarily fun. It didn't. And honestly, I'll say this. Utah State's got some struggles that they're trying to work through. They're trying to find a way to work through at this point. And another tough loss. Like they are 1-4 in conference play and all four of their conference losses have been like right down to the wire, and they just can't seem to win these close games. I understand Utah State fans getting a little salty on what's going on, and I get it.
Yeah, but Fresno State's a decent team. So
they're all really good teams that they're playing, and all good teams that they've lost to. It's just that they've had their four losses were by 2 points, 3 points, 2 points, and then last night was seven, but it was because it was free throw shooting down the stretch. You know, when you got a foul and try to get buckets on the other end, and so that game was a lot closer than that final score indicated. So we're talking about 1-2 possession games in every game, and points where it's back and forth with just a minute or two left. I mean, Utah State's down one. And, you know, they sag off a 3-point shooter to double a guy in the post. He kicks it out. Guy hits a three. Boom. And they're up four. And then at that point, it's just, game's over and you're chasing points the rest of the way. So
well, that Oklahoma win that impacted expectations.
Well, that you know what you got a good point. And Richmond's also another win that they got that that's a tier one victory as well. So they had some good success early on. The Brock Miller injuries really hurt them. They've had another player out with COVID over the last two games as well. So there's some things going on there too. But look, after the last 3 years, and this was to be expected. I mean, look, the last 3 years you've had. Two of those three, you've had two NBA players. Last year, you had one NBA player. And when it gets sideways and you lose NBA players, then you take a step back until you get some others. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. It goes in cycles, and you try to regroup and get it back to where it needs to be. By the way, I just saw, now I've got my internet working here, Lloyd. I just saw the every day when you post the lineup of the shows and what we got going on, you do post a little bit of a GIF. You do have Hans Gruber being thrown off the tower in Die Hard. Is that a reference to our guy Hans, or what?
If you follow, there's also a hashtag. So,
oh, hands free. Okay, I didn't see the hashtag. Nice.
Yeah, well, Hans Gruber falling off the tower. Yes.
Well done by you.
Yeah, I thought. You know what? I was like, if we're going, this is a good time to use the Hans Gruber right now. He's not with us, so today he's got other things going. So I was like, you know, we're gonna go with little Hans Gruber.
You know what I watched the other day, and surprisingly is held up nicely, and when it comes to Die Hard movies, number one is always the top of the list. You know, my second favorite Die Hard movie is 3, actually, with Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay. You didn't like the second one with Stadler.
I mean, I liked it, but okay. I'm just saying, if I have to rank them... Now, look, anything after 3, I don't think really exists. Some of that other dopey stuff they've done, I don't count that. But you know what? The 3 was, you know, you throw in high-quality, angry Samuel L. Jackson into the mix, and you got yourself some high-quality entertainment there.
To be honest with you, I like most of – actually, I actually – Die Hard is a guilty pleasure. I actually like all of them. I really have no problem with any of them. Did you like the more recent one?
Like Live Free and Die Hard. I watched it and I can't even really remember them. They were just completely uneventful.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. That's Bruce Willis for me.
Like how many more came out after 3? Were there two more after that? Or three more?
There might have been three more. I think plugging away.
Let's see.
You can't kill John McClane.
All right, so you've got Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and then Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, and then there's one more after that.
And A Good Day to Die Hard.
Okay, that one fell off for me. The last good one was Live Free, Die Hard. That very last one, yeah, okay.
Well, I think Live Free or Die Hard, they tried to make it PG-13, and it's like, no, you can't have a PG-13 Die Hard.
I need John McClane saying yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, yippee-ki-yay.
Come on. Yep. That's what I need.
Yeah. But yeah, number one, number two, and number three, all three of them very good movies. But yeah, I remember watching that number three in high school and just being like, yep, that's right up there with the best of them. All right, Hans and Scotty, we got a busy show. David James is going to join us coming up at 12:30. We will also chat with David Locke coming up at 1 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, Jeremiah Jensen will join the program. We've got a lot to break down. As we always say, when Hans is gone, it's a hands-free show. It means that it's going to take a village. It's going to take a lot of us. So we got the army ready to go. It is time for your starting lineup. Hans and Scotty right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Starting lineup brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier door and retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. That's 801-566-1255. All right, Jazz back in action tonight as they'll take on Houston. These are two games that really the Jazz need to find a way to win. Coming up tonight against Houston, and then they'll have tomorrow off and then wrap up the week against Detroit before playing a four-game stretch to end the month that will be a bit of a doozy, actually a five-game stretch, where they will play Golden State on the 23rd, then on the 24th at Phoenix, and then they'll play Phoenix again at home. After that, Memphis on the road, and they'll wrap up the month with a trip to Minneapolis to take on the pesky Timberwolves. So those are going to be five difficult games coming up for the Jazz. That's the gauntlet right there. And you need to give yourself a little bit of cushion by finding a way to pick up a couple W's. Now, you're going to have to do so without Donovan Mitchell, at least for the game tonight. He is in COVID protocol. Or, excuse me, I got to be careful. Concussion protocol. Not in COVID protocol. Get your protocols mixed up, you're going to get yourself into trouble. But no, you will have Rudy Gay out with a right heel soreness, Donovan Mitchell out with concussion protocol, and Hassan Whiteside, who is still in health and safety COVID protocol. So that is your injury report going into the game tonight. And those are three players that are all out and all three players that are much needed for this Jazz team to find a way to try to get W's. Now, again, should you beat Houston without those three players? The answer to that is obviously yes. You should beat Houston, and you also should beat Detroit coming up on the 21st. But you should have beaten the Pacers back on January 8th, even when you had guys out. And you should have beaten Detroit, that same Detroit team, in which you lost that game 126-116 back on January 10th. So, again, there's a lot of shoulds, seems to be the operative word here. Should have won this, it should have picked up a W here, should have won this game, and you can go down that laundry list of shoulds. Right now, the Jazz are not in a situation where they can just take any game for granted, especially when they've seen some recent struggles. Jazz coming into this game, losers of four out of their last five, and what is really interesting is the fact that after that loss to the Lakers, 101-95 the other night, the Jazz now seem to find themselves in an interesting spot that isn't always great for team chemistry and isn't always great in when you're trying to build up your team, and that is you're the focus of a lot of trade rumors out there. I will say this, and this is not, I don't have any inside information on this. I would take everything you hear with a grain of salt. And there's a lot of people out there, and I want to be careful how I say this. There's a lot of really good media members that report really good work. I think the Jazz, you can take the beat writers that cover the Jazz here in Salt Lake City, and you can put them up against any other market. I think, you know, you've got a laundry list of guys that do really good work. Eric Walden, our own Ben Anderson from KSLSports.com, and, of course, the Zone Sports Network, Andy Larson, Tony Jones. I mean, these guys all do tremendous work. And they're dialed in. They report the story accurately. They don't get into conjecture very often. And I think they do tremendous work. And then there's also some others that chime in from time to time that just try to ruffle feathers. And so when you see the, you know, hashtag sources, and you see people saying, hey, the Jazz may be doing this or maybe doing that, I'd say, look, take it with a grain of salt. Because there's a lot of times that you'll throw something out there and see if it sticks. And if it does, then you do a little pat yourself on the back parade and talk about how smart you are. And if you're not, you're like, well, I said they could. It was a potential. It's a dirty trick that a lot of us use from time to time just to try to throw something out there. And if it works, great. And if not, then you can backtrack a little bit. Are the Jazz going to be taking every phone call out there? Sure, absolutely. You'd be silly not to. I don't think that there's ever a player that you can look at and say that player is untouchable, because untouchable doesn't exist in the NBA. Maybe it exists for maybe two or three guys. There's a certain amount of guys that you look at and say, okay, that's untouchable. He's untouchable. Okay, but are they really? Like Kevin Durant? Probably untouchable. Steph Curry? Untouchable. LeBron James and the Lakers? Untouchable. Is there a Jazz player on this team that qualifies as untouchable? No. I mean, look, if one of those untouchable guys, if Golden State calls up tomorrow and says, hey, we're going to give you Donovan, you know, we want Donovan Mitchell, we'll give you Steph Curry, then of course the Jazz are going to pull the trigger on that. So calm down on the whole untouchable thing, because it doesn't really exist, only for a very few select players. Is Rudy Gobert untouchable? No. But I will say this, if I am Justin Zanuck and Danny Ainge, I need a massive Brinks truck of quality players and quality assets to pry either one of those players away from me. Now, is Joe Ingles in the conversation? Well, sure. Of course he is. With an expiring contract, that would look good if somebody's trying to clear some salary and if the Jazz are willing to take on salary. But are the Jazz in a situation where they're really willing to take on extra salary? I mean, look, this is a team that's deep in the luxury tax. Unless that player is a bona fide great perimeter defender and a missing piece that's going to get you over the top, you just don't make a trade just to make a trade. You're giving up a huge asset in Joe Ingles in terms of not only chemistry in a locker room, but you're also giving up a quality asset of your own in his expiring contract. So are you really willing to take on extra salary just to move Joe Ingles, when not only the collateral damage is the effect that it gives you, the effect it has on your locker room? Yeah, you weigh that and think, okay, is that really a necessary step? If it gets us over the top, then sure. Yeah, you pull the trigger on that. But if not, and you're just looking for long-term health of your team, I don't think it provides that. And so these are it's the cautionary tale that I think GMs know and they understand. The Jazz aren't in a situation where they have to make a deal just to make a deal. They're not there. Now, the only reason the Jazz would ever pull a trigger is if you get immediate help right now, because there is a window here for the Utah Jazz that they're very well aware of, that they need to hit this window in terms of winning a title. And if that player helps you win right now in that window, then yeah, you have to explore that. If it doesn't, and you're looking at, okay, well, it's just an asset or a player that could develop into something 2 or 3 years from now, nah, that's not worth your time. You need immediate help right now. And if it's out there, great. If not, don't do it. And the Jazz won't do it. This is about right now. This is an urgency about this season, this particular season. So, again, I would caution you, and I know Twitter, we're all irrational, we're all overly dramatic, and that's the world we live in social media right now. And so when you see things out there about the Jazz are actively trying to move this player, no, the Jazz will move somebody if it makes them better right now. And I think it gets you into trouble when you start talking about potential trades and potential things and, you know, and, oh, I hear this guy is being targeted. Okay, let's calm it down a little bit. Do I think the Jazz are going to make the trade? Yeah, I do think they'll actually do something. I would be surprised if the Jazz stay pat at the trade deadline. Do I think it's going to be something that alters the landscape of this team dramatically? I don't know. I don't. Do I think Joe Ingles will be part of it? Well, it makes a little bit of sense, but again, I don't think it's as cut and dry as a lot of people believe it is. Now, Mike Conley has been around the league a long time. He's seen a lot of things in this league for a long time. He knows how good this Jazz team could be. He addressed the media earlier today in preparation for the game coming up tonight. Here's Mike Conley addressing the media before as the Jazz get ready for their game against Houston.
Well, I think it's very important now more than ever, I think, because a lot of stuff is out of our control, you know, with COVID and things like that going on. And for us as a team, as an organization, you know, all teams right now trying to find ways to continue to push forward during those times. And you know, guys are going to be in and out of lineups, and you're traveling a lot, you're playing a lot of games, and you know, how are you going to adjust to it? How are you going to adapt to it? Are you going to, you know, kind of let it beat you up and bring you down? Or are you going to continue to fight through it? And, you know, I think those, you'll see those teams that, you know, have that kind of mental toughness, that kind of, you know, that depth where, you know, next man up mentality, during these stages of their season, normally are the ones you see at the end of the year that, you know, kind of create a little distance from, the rest of the pack. So we want to be one of those teams. And this is an important part of our year.
Obviously lasted longer in the year than any other team before having to deal with COVID. Do you see that as advantageous or
Well, I think it's obviously an advantage if your guys are healthy and you're consistently throwing out the same group of guys every night. And we took a lot of pride in that, you know, just being able to be one of those few teams without, you know, many cases and a few outbreaks and stuff like that. So for us, a team that's built on chemistry, built on connectivity and, you know, just having guys available that you're used to having out there was huge. And now we're trying to find our way throughout, you know, the course of that, having guys in and out and roles changing and new faces and, you know, a system that isn't easy for guys on 10 days to pick up or guys who are coming in from, you know, different teams to pick up just like that. So we're just, you know, trying to find our way through it, you know, day by day.
It's been particularly hard to get over a stretch in terms of not having a lot of your critical big men available, remaining on, being out simultaneously, and then he goes out. Really have a lot of time, as you know, after he was playing early in the year. What have you seen out of him lately?
Eric's been great. I think more than anything, it's his attitude when he wasn't playing, you know, when he was, you know, the guy cheering on everybody and just being animated and having a lot of energy and going at people in practice. Like I tell him every day, like, man, that's, you know, that's an impressive trait to have. Cause not a lot of people would or can sit there and do that. But because I think of him having that work ethic and attitude when his number's called, and it has been lately, he's been phenomenal because he hasn't missed a beat. He knows what we're running. He knows our defensive schemes. He knows offensively what's, you know, what we're asking of him and, goes out there and plays hard. And you can't ask for more than that from a guy like Eric.
That back-to-back career years from three, there's like a secret that happened was
the changes. Just, you know, how the dad was like. Yeah. It's just how, you know, I'm supposed to play here, you know, shoot more threes and take those opportunities when I have them. And not think about it at all. And I really haven't, like, I feel like I probably should shoot a lot better than I do now. And, you know, I have a lot of good looks and that's because of Rudy and Hassan and the way we play and having bigs that screen the way we do and how fast we play and having guards that can make plays for each other. So I'm just a beneficiary of, you know, everybody around me.
Better than 43%?
Yeah. 43%
is pretty good.
I do. I honestly don't think I should miss. So I really do, unless it's a tough shot or something like that. But like if I have a good look, I'm very angry if it doesn't go in.
I
want to
ask you, in the Lakers game, the LeBron and center matchups
were good.
What did you see happen in those minutes?
Yeah, obviously that was kind of the game there with a guy like LeBron who makes it very difficult in a small situation when you're trying to keep a guy on a certain matchup. In this case, I think we had Boyan on him, try to keep him on him. You know, our coverages are, you know, to show and get back to your man. And LeBron's smart and, you know, one of the smartest players in our history of our game and the way he can manipulate and set a screen one time, not set a screen the next time. And you get guys like Stanley Johnson coming downhill, you know, with, you know, nobody around. It seems like those are situations we have to communicate better and just be more locked in because that's what we're going to see. And I think it's no secret to what's going to happen in the playoffs and stuff like that, that teams are going to resort to that who have that, you know, those kind of players that can do that. So you know, it's another look at it and you know, just another opportunity for us to take the film and learn. Each one of us have to be better in the situations and I think we can do it. I think we can get better and you know, we just have to you know, put our focus on that because knowing that's going to be something that we see down the line.
Appreciate it.
when you say the communication has to be better, those equipment, can you give examples?
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, with LeBron, he's a guy, you normally guys will come up straight up on the left or right side of a guy that comes at a screen. LeBron will weave in between going right or left, and you don't know which way the screen is actually being set. So for Boyan or myself or anybody who's on LeBron, you'd be yelling left, 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 right, right, or hedge right, hedge left, or black right, black left, which is switched, whatever. So, you know, the guy guarding the ball is now hearing multiple calls or maybe one call and doesn't know which way to go. And so like, it might be less about who's on the ball and more about just all the guys behind being able to communicate really early and definitively on like what coverage we're in and what we're trying to do and just sell out on that coverage. And, you know, when you have multiple options, cause guys are smart in this league, and offensive players will make you do things differently. It makes it tough when you're trying to communicate that in real time.
What's the process of getting better at that, especially?
All right, there you go. That's part of the Mike Conley media availability as the Jazz get set for a showdown tonight as they square off against Houston. And then coming up in a couple days, they've got Detroit. And, you know, you'd like to pencil that in as a W, but can't forget what happened about a week ago. And then the Jazz go on a big stretch of games against some really difficult opponents. We'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later on. David Locke will join us coming up at 1:05, but joining us now as we're live here at Tri-Day Trading, Ryan's hanging out with us. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great today. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. You know what? Here's the thing, and this is why I always love coming down here, because there's so many success stories, and every time I walk down the hall, you're hearing somebody getting coached up, and there are so many people out there that have really changed their life, whether it's a supplemental income or a complete, you know, replacement of their income, and are being able to work the hours they want to work in a world that's got turned upside down. To have that kind of level of comfort, it's really remarkable how you've changed lives down here.
Hey, it makes a big difference when you're in charge, right?
Yeah.
When you don't have to wait for the next thing that's going to happen or the next thing that's going to change. And, you know, we're excited because we also have people from all different types of backgrounds, you know, that have never even been a part of the stock world or the Forex world or the crypto world. So we're just excited to get a chance to talk to good people, show them what we can do, find out if it lines up with what they're trying to do. And if it is, we get to work together. We get to let them trade our money, and it's a win-win.
And that's the key too, because there's a lot of people out there that ask, well, why don't you guys trade your own money? Well, you do, but you love getting other people involved and having a lot of people trading your money.
Yeah, honestly, it's like having multiple people trading at different times,
yeah,
in different markets and diversifying for us. And then, you know, when you got good people that are benefiting and your common goal is to just be successful, it's a great formula.
All right, so it all starts with a free webinar. All you have to do is go to tridaytrading.com, and I want people to know this. You don't twist anybody's arm. You give people 30 days to try this out. You set up a dummy account. You give them a great education. And at the end of those 30 days, if people want to proceed, then that's great. If not, you pat them on the back and you wish them well.
Yeah, that's it. You're going to get a chance to watch that. If you want to sign up, it's $10. That $10 gets donated to a good cause. And then you get to work one-on-one. We're going to have somebody here get on the phone with you, get in front of your computer, and show you a few things. You know, you'll be able to know if it's for you, yeah, or not, but give that a try. That's the first step.
And frankly, you'll probably know within the first week or so whether it's going to work for you or not.
Yeah, most people know quickly. And we're spending the time to answer your questions. So you get that one-on-one attention that you really don't get anywhere else to decide if this is for you.
I've gone through the training process. It is awesome. It's a great education. Even if you have no knowledge of the trading world, whether it be crypto or currencies or whatever the case is, you're going to get a great education and you'll know pretty quickly. And if you want to proceed, you have a chance to make a lot of really good quality income to help supplement your life. Go to tridaytrading.com. That free webinar is up there right now. Tridaytrading.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined right now by the Pac-12 Commissioner, George Kliavkov. I'm curious how much of what has gone wrong, what needs to be fixed, can be done by the Pac-12 Commissioner and the conference office, and what percentage is on the schools? What is the balance here? How much of this is on your plate?
It's probably 80-20. Probably 80% of the decisions that lead to football success happen on the campus and not at the conference. But the 20% is an important 20%, right? We have to be better about providing a better platform when we renegotiated our media rights, and that's related to revenue, it's related to distribution, it's related to competitive advantage, deciding who gets to play at what time of the day for highlighting for AP voters and CFP voters on the East Coast. So we have a lot of work to do, but the larger input to football success comes on the campus for sure.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hands off today. Don't worry, folks. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't panic. We'll get through it, and then he'll be back tomorrow, and then everything's going to be just fine.
If not, you'll get another Hans Gruber GIF
yes.
tomorrow.
I love the fact you got Hans Gruber getting thrown off Nakatomi Towers. That's a good hands-free reference right there. All right, joining us now, you hear him every morning from 6 to 10, David James, kind enough to carve out a few moments for us. DJ, how are you?
Good. I think completely different things about sports than I did about 2.5 hours ago, so I'm glad you had me on so I could reset all those takes.
Ooh. All right. Well, then, what has changed, DJ, or is that a bit of a sarcastic tone?
No, that was 100% sarcasm.
I know.
What's going to change is that stuff PK and I didn't consider you're going to bring up fresh topics. You're going to spin it 90 degrees and give us a new look. Very David Locke-ish of you. David Locke-ish. I can't even talk.
No, it's all right. I'm with you. Look, I was in Fresno last night, and now I'm here and after a 6 a.m. flight. So I...
You're a little groggy.
You know what? I just threw down about 16 ounces of Monster energy drink during the break. So hopefully that'll kick in here in just a second.
Nice.
I have my weekly daily allowance of caffeine all in one 16-ounce thing there, so I'm ready to go. All right.
Well, your heart rate's 185, so that should work.
Ah, come on. Cardiac arrest, no big deal. We'll be fine. All right, so Jazz in Houston tonight. Rockets, not a good team. Detroit, not a good team, but the Jazz have already lost to Detroit, and right now you're looking at no Donovan Mitchell, you're no Hassan Whiteside, no Rudy Gay, but are these two games that the Jazz will win even with those guys out? And let's just talk about tonight before we extend into Detroit, but I still think this is a game that the Jazz should win even though they've had some struggles as of late.
I completely agree, 100%, but I've said that before, and
yep.
They have lost. Oh, back-to-back at Orlando, and Mike Conley won't play, but they should win. Orlando's terrible. Well, I got that half right. Orlando is indeed terrible, but the Jazz didn't win. And then just wash and rinse and repeat. I've said it 5 or 6 times. They lost to the Pelicans. They lost to, they've lost 4 times to the 3 worst teams in the East. Orlando, Detroit, and Indiana twice. And if you're in, and then you throw in the Pelicans game, and it's like, well, why aren't the Jazz second in the West right on Phoenix's heels? Well, win 3 or 4 of those 5 games. You don't even have to win them all because crazy things do happen in the NBA. Back-to-backs do happen. COVID happened. So you don't even have to win them all. If you could have just won 3 or 4 of those teams that in front of Golden State. And Houston's that kind of game. And having said all that, I don't know how much the order of the top 4 matters. Memphis has played at a high enough level for long enough, and even though the Jazz beat them in 5 and beat them 4 straight once they got Donovan in the playoffs, the games were so competitive, even though the series on the whole wasn't, that whoever you have to play in the second round, if those are the 4 teams, it's going to be hard. Now, maybe you have a home court or you don't. And maybe when we get there, the order you play them matters because one team has injuries and doesn't have the full complement. I get all that. I think what really matters now, and this is totally goes against what I think in most NBA seasons, but in this season, with this Jazz team having this much experience and having so many guys in their 30s, some guys easing into their mid-30s, what really matters is what Quinn is saying. Be playing your best basketball at game 70 and be ready for the playoffs, because a 3 or 4 seed might come out of the West and a 1 seed might come out of the West. And it'll just depend on how you play in that month when you're all going head to head in the second round in the Western Conference Final.
All right, so I was not in the market during this time. I showed up. One of the first jobs I ever had doing sports radio was showing up to a locker room cleanout in which John Stockton said, "Oh, yeah, I just told everybody I'm retiring," and then he ran out of the building, and we never really saw him again. So I wasn't here for the majority of the John and Carl years, but there was a good stretch where every summer it seemed like you were reporting and everybody else was reporting on a tiff between Larry H. Miller and Carl Malone. And then it would always blow up a little bit, and then they'd come together and then be fine, and then they'd go through the season, and then you'd rinse and repeat. And then it just got to the point, well, that's just how the relationship is. Is Rudy Gay to a certain extent where Rudy's going to say some things every now and then about how he's feeling? It's really blunt, and the team might take the team backwards a little bit, but then they kind of accept, well, that's just kind of who Rudy is, and we'll patch it up and we'll move on.
You know, I don't have the track record with Rudy Gay. Do you mean Rudy Gobert or Rudy Gay?
Oh, I meant Rudy Gobert. Sorry, that's my bad.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So with Rudy, yeah, I think we do have the track record with him, and that is how it is. And you kind of roll with it. Give him his space. He gets cranky. But I think of all the times to get cranky, now's the time to get cranky. They've lost 6 out of 9. That should make you cranky. Championship teams rarely lose 6 out of 9. Now COVID and losing Gobert, maybe that's the excuse. But they talk about winning a championship. Multiple guys have talked about it multiple times over multiple years. And if you were a championship team, don't lose 7 out of 10. So if you want to get a little cranky tonight, you know, we want guys to be the nicest guy in the world. And we also want guys to win at the highest level. They are literally trying to be the best people in the world at what they do. And if there's a little extra edge that you get that you need by being angry and cranky, I think everybody else needs to roll with it. The fan base wants the winning so much. Yes, we wish the guys were like, you know, the perfect brother, the perfect husband, the perfect son, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, look at a lot of champions. Larry Bird got cranky. Michael Jordan got super cranky and punched teammates who would later hit the game-winning shot. It isn't always pretty. But if you're literally trying to be the best in the world, not the second best in the world, not the 12th best in the world, Scotty, could you imagine if people wrote a list and said you were one of the top 100 talk show hosts in the world?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the pride? You don't even consider that. You tried to do your job. You tried to do it well. And lots of people listening to the same thing. Who's trying to be one of the top 100 lawyers or top 100 accountants or top 100 teachers or top 100 firefighters or whatever your profession is? And these guys are trying to get to number one. And so if that takes having an edge and hurting people's feelings once in a while, the rewards are so great, just roll with it. So, yeah, I do think that there's, you know, and Malone didn't get there. He got to number two, right? You lost in the finals twice to Jordan. So for those 2 years, you were the second best team in the league. You know, and so it kind of takes that. And that's why Sloan rolled with it. Sloan, way deep into this, looking off in the distance, but, man, just playing us all, just had us all in the string. It's like, Carl, he'll be here when we need him.
Yep.
And Jerry says that, I'm like, oh, he's right, isn't he? Because they're not going to trade him, and he's not going to leave as a free agent, and he's not going to hold out and not get his money. Jerry's right. So everyone just had to calm down and accept it. And, you know, it got you to 5 conference finals and 2 NBA finals, and the Olympic team came through town because John and Carl were on it, and the arena was full, and 20,000 people had a good time. So it was a heck of a ride. I wish it had ended in a championship. Everybody does, but it was still a heck of a ride. So I think you have to put up with that with Gobert. he's a little cranky sometimes. And I think any player right now, if they're totally honest, is like, yeah, the last 2 weeks have sucked. Because they have. So Rudy's cranky. Let's go win a few games, and then if Rudy's still cranky, we'll tell him to lighten up.
And it's David James joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Again, you hear him every morning from 6 to 10 right here on the Zone Sports Network. All right, so with that said, I don't know if – I mean, you got to ask yourself, who do you really think is out there that is able, that you can snag via trade that's going to make you that much better, that's going to get you over the hump, and what are you willing to give up to sacrifice that? So my question is, number one, do you think there will be some level of a trade, and how big do you think that trade will be? Is it cosmetic, or is it something that could be fairly impactful?
See, this goes back to your thing about you've covered him a long time, and you can look at the trends, and now Ainge is in charge.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Ultimately, Danny Ainge is going to be aggressive and make aggressive deals. But if you look at his history in Boston, he didn't do it at every trade deadline. He didn't do it every summer. He did it multiple times. He's clearly comfortable doing it, but you've got to have more stability than that. So I can't guarantee you that he's going to shake everything up with some mega deal the first time he has a chance. He might, but I can't guarantee that. I don't think that there's a deal out there that you can reasonably propose that suddenly makes the Jazz the team to beat in the West. It doesn't mean they can't make a deal around the edges, and we'll look back and ultimately say, wow, that gave them just a little edge in this area, whatever it is. I mean, we're all talking about perimeter defense, you know, but rebounding or somebody who ends up hitting clutch free throws, who's, you know, clutch at the end of close games, whatever it is. That could be out there. I don't think you can name it, and I think if you look back at the rare trades that made the Jazz a lot better, and everyone would go to the Hornacek trade, well, that was a money trade, and literally every GM in the league would have made it if they were sitting in Scott Layden's chair. Layden proposed it because he knew Philly was trying to make a money trade, and they told him no, and they told him no multiple times. He figured it wasn't happening, and then he famously got the phone call and made the trade, and his wife is mad. You told me nothing was going to happen. I'm like, well, they shut me down, and I hadn't heard from them. I didn't know they were going to call back. But it was an auction, and we won, and they just didn't want to let us know, you know? So that kind of trade could happen, and if it happens, Joe Ingles' contract makes him the most likely. But it doesn't necessarily mean he's the only one. If there's a player out there that I think could impact the West, if any of the top teams got him, I'm really curious about Jerami Grant. He's a guy who, when he was in a supporting role as the third or fourth best player on a team, his last year before he went to Denver and then his first year in Denver, I think he was in Oklahoma City. He had back-to-back, and you can look this up while I'm talking, Scotty. He had back-to-back years where he shot right at 39% from three. Now, he hasn't been doing that. If you look at his career number, he's a 34%er. You got to dig deeper than that, okay? As he became a veteran in the league and as he played on a pretty good team in Denver, he shot 39% from three. He did it 2 years in a row. Now, you go to Detroit, you're the guy, that number drops. You're taking more of the shots late in the shot clock. You're not open. Jokic and Murray aren't creating space for you anymore. You know, so the number's dropped. But I think he could get back to that. He's continually improved as a free throw shooter. So he's a guy you can put out there at the end of games, and if they foul him, he can make free throws. That's, we've seen Jazz players who had to be hit at the end of games and couldn't impact the end of games because he couldn't make free throws if you followed the team for a long time. So I'm curious whether it's the Jazz or somebody else, if he came into a Western contender, how much of a difference would he make? And maybe, even if he isn't going to one of the elite teams, if he went to a lower-level team, all of a sudden is somebody looking at a really hard first-round series.
Yeah.
On the surface, I don't know why Detroit would trade him. They're going to have cap room next year. They got like $50 million coming off their payroll. And so they got Cade Cunningham, number one pick in the draft. They've got Grant and a veteran. If they bring in one more person, free agent, or a lopsided money trade where someone's, hey, I'll give you talent because I just don't want to pay the luxury tax. You know, Detroit might get a lot better really quickly. So I don't even know that they're going to move him. But his name's been thrown out there so often, maybe they are moving him. And, boy, if he landed in the West, I think he could help the Jazz, and I think he could hurt the Jazz if he ended up on another team. And what Detroit is looking for You know, that they may not want an expiring contract. You know, they may want a lot of talent back. So it could be a case of what you give up just creates holes, and you plug them in, and you move the deck chairs around, but the ship looks the same.
Well, and you look at Grant, and his contract is up after next year. So he's getting 20 this year. He'll get 20 next year.
Will he stay? Yeah.
Yeah, and so maybe Detroit's looking at it from that perspective. Like, hey, look, you know, we don't think we're going to keep him here long term. Let's clear another $20 million off the books, because Ingles will come off after this year, and off you go. And if you're the Jazz, you can swallow that $20 million this year, you know, whatever's remaining this year, and that $20 million next year before you really get into the tax penalty. So it might make a lot of sense, because you know, having a 1.5 year rental may not be a bad idea for the Jazz, considering where they're at salary cap wise.
All those things could be true, you know. But will someone else give up more? Does Ainge have his eye on somebody else? You know, there's a lot of variables that can make this happen or make this fall apart. But of all the guys, I think that he's a guy, because he's 6'8", he's super athletic, he's got playoff experience now, he's in his prime in his late 20s, he can shoot free throws at a high rate, you can trust him at the end of games, he shoots the three. I can see why a lot of people have circled that guy's name, and I can see why the Jazz would.
So, if you're Utah, and I know you had a chance to chat with George Kalafkov last week, but is the Pac-12 moving to an 8-game schedule, or are they going to stay at 9?
They move to 8 about 2 minutes after the Big Ten does.
Like everything else they do.
Right. Well, you've got to – sometimes you have to accept your lot in life, you know, and you are who you are. And where you are is not necessarily a bad place. It may not be the best place. You know, if you want to go back to our career, Scotty, you know, we're not working as a network, and we're not working in a top 10 market. But we're working in a place that appreciates sports and loves sports and has a passion for sports. And we both have people we've worked with who've gone to other cities who we're tight with who have reported back, wow, everywhere's not like that. You know, I've worked with people who've gone to Portland, and he said, man, you say Jazz and people listen. You say Blazers? Maybe they listen, maybe they don't. And college football isn't nearly as big a deal. So you got to accept where you are sometimes and think, I'm in a good place. I can't worry about all these other places I could be. The Pac-12 is in a good place. They're about to get a new TV contract. It's going to be better. This last one has been a big problem. I don't think they'll clear everything up. They won't get as much money as they want, but they will get more money. They probably won't get all the time slots they want, but they will get some better time slots. So I think they're going to make things better, but the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have a long-term relationship, and the Big Ten is the second most powerful conference in the sport. And the Big Ten needs allies to stand up to the SEC, so they need you too. So there's nothing wrong with hitching your wagon to the Big Ten.
Yeah, I understand that. You would certainly hope that the Pac-12 would be an innovator instead of a follower, whether it's COVID, it's whatever the case is. Yeah. I mean, it just seems like, all right, look, what's the Big 12? Okay, fine. They're shutting down. We're shutting down. Oh, they're coming back. Oh, we're coming back too.
I get all that sticks in your craw, but, you know, there's a new sheriff in town, and sometimes you got to let stuff go. And I think they are being an innovator as far as, hey, if we play these big regional, cross-region games, we'll get a bigger audience because two regions will be interested in it. And I think the Big Ten gets that. The problem is the Big Ten has 14 teams, and they kind of need 9 games to maintain this, you know, we're all one conference, we play each other, we see each other. So I get why they're struggling with giving it up. But I think they will at some point, and maybe they need to be closer to a new TV contract. And when they do, then the Pac-12 will do. Because the goal is, you know, if you lose and Arizona Oregon State game or a Utah Washington State game, are you really losing that much if you're replacing it with Utah Michigan State or Washington State has a good team and plays Wisconsin? You know, I think you're gaining more there. So, but they have to be free to do it. You know, you can't play them until they're ready to play you. It's not something they can do by themselves.
Well, DJ, always a pleasure. Thanks for helping bail us out today. Means a lot.
No worries. I'm glad you made it out of the Fresno fog. Fresno in the spring and fall is great, but Fresno's really hot in the summer and really cold and foggy in the winter.
Yeah, it's not bad, though. I mean, it was like mid-50s when I left, so, you know, no, certainly doable.
In January, that's a win. If you get in and out and it's 50 degrees and you saw the sun, that is a victory.
Yeah. Underrated food city, Fresno. Best tri-tip sandwich, bar none.
I was texting with Hans yesterday, and he said he's been to the Mariposa Grove. I've tried to get you up there, these redwoods, massive redwood grove that's right at the edge of the Yosemite National Park, 2 hours from Fresno, and it is sensational.
Yeah, just, you know how those trips are. You're in and you're out, and you don't have a lot of time.
In the winter, there's a ton of snow, and they close it down, and so that's got to be more a football trip, or you use all those frequent flyer miles when the season is over and take your wife out there.
Yeah, I don't know if Fresno's on high on her list in terms of where she wants to go on.
Four hours from San Francisco.
Oh,
four
there you go.
Take her to San Francisco, and then you go out there for maybe you do one night overnight, drive out, see the place, stay the night.
Gotcha. All right, DJ. Thank you.
I'm your travel agent.
I love it. Great, the great David James right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Trevor Allen, of course, covers the Utes for KSLSports.com. Talk about your reaction. Quinton Ganther getting the gig. I think it's a good thing for Utah.
That was the only name that really came to mind as someone who could come in and really pick up with what Coach Mack did in his time here at Utah, and that's to be able to continue to bring in top running back talent, develop the guys that are in here, and send them off to the NFL. And Quinton can do that.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty. Hey, the Hans and Scotty Show brought to you by U First Credit Union. For over 65 years, they've been a part of our community, and while their name is changing, their commitment is not. Find out more at ufirstcu.com. Been teasing that for a while. That's our new presenting sponsor, U First Credit Union, right here on the Zone Sports Network. This takes you back, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I like this.
Yeah.
Dance.
I know. This takes you back to, Utah State circa 1997.
Yeah, we were fly.
Yeah. Yeah. you were up there? What years were you up there?
93 to 97.
Okay, we overlapped a bit then.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure we saw each other.
Well, and I think, we had some crossover friends.
We did.
Yeah. We probably ought to keep that quiet, though.
I'd like that.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. All right, Angie's hanging out with us. We're live here at Tri-Day Trading. All right, so you and I go back a long ways. We've worked with a bunch of clients, and you do such a great job representing so many great people on this radio station. But with that said, sometimes there's things you're like, okay, not only do I want to help these guys, but I want to be a part of it as well.
Right.
And with Tri-Day Trading, you and I both have jumped into the deep end of the ocean here.
Right, we have. Our other jobs are too hard.
I know,
right? We should do this more.
Exactly. You and I were just talking about during the break, because there's so many great opportunities to supplement your income here.
Right. And it's really not hard. It's just deciding to come, get the training, work with a coach, figure out how the program works, and then do the process. I've watched so many people do it and make money and have success as a side income. And then a handful of good friends of mine now don't have to do the regular job. And so I think, why am I doing my regular job when that would be so much easier?
And really, there's so many people that just wake up, you know, you get up a little early, you know, 6 a.m.,
right,
knock out a couple hours of trading, and you're done for the day.
Right. And what's great is things have gotten a little funky in the world, right?
Yeah, no
I mean,
doubt.
Nobody knows what's going to happen next month or the month after. And that doesn't make a difference with tri-day trading. So whether it's up or it's down or the economy is doing well, I mean, we can always trade on the market and have success if you follow their program.
In fact, the funkier it gets, the better it is. You want volatility in the
market.
That's
true. Yeah. Right.
All right, so it all starts with a free webinar. Go to trydaytrading.com, follow that webinar, and the great thing is that 30 days of training you get, you feel like you have a PhD in trading by the time that thing's over.
Yeah, that really surprised me. $10, I thought, like, this is just going to be kind of lame. Because a webinar even, I thought, well, but I learned a little from the webinar, yeah. And then I sat, like, next to a coach who explained it, and it felt a lot less stressful. I was a little worried how hard it would be, but it's not hard at all. Someone sits with you. They have to lose money on that, right? Because yeah. This guy's training you for a month. And then you realize it's really not that hard.
30 days of training. And then at the end of the 30 days, you can decide if you want to proceed.
Right.
And if not, that's fine. They'll pat you on the back. Your $10 went to a good cause, went to a charity, and you're good. But right. I mean, you're going to have 30 days to really figure out if this is right for you.
Right. And it's not too time consuming. The 30 days is like, you know, a couple hours a week to figure it out. And then, you know,
but, I mean, the amount of knowledge you get and the expertise, like, they really want you to be successful.
Well, yeah, they don't want you to do it if you're not going to like it. That's not a thing for you. So, yeah.
I mean, it's their money at stake. I mean, you're trading somebody else's money, so exactly. They're all in on it. Go to trydaytrading.com. Look, if I can do it, you definitely can do it. I mean, Angie sets the bar high. She's way smarter than all of us. But if sure. Hanson can do it, I can do it. Certainly if Alema can do it, you definitely can do it.
Yeah, that is for sure.
Go to trydaytrading.com. Alema, I mean, the fact he powers up a laptop, that's a win in itself. But the fact that he can trade at a high level is really impressive. Go to trydaytrading.com. David Locke joins us next. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.